morning, everybody. I got a lot of compliments on the song yesterday, and people wanted to know what song it was. I wrote it, but I was just riffing on a chord progression and a melody I really like, evolving it, if you will. And then I don't even remember right now. Hang on. But what I was doing was literally evolving it, where I started, I kept making it more and more complicated and passionate as I went, almost like a ball rolling down a hill. I like when things start, like, and then they go back and forth between creation and destruction in music. You know, you can just... Develop the engine of growth, right? A pattern, and then out of the pattern you can take more risks. It's almost like a series of mutations. Isn't it kind of interesting? It's just coming out of your head. Periods of intense growth and mistakes. And then you go back to rebirth. Start again. Except this time's a little different. Faced with a question, do you end with a minor or a major? Let's end with a major today. Even though sometimes the major chords can be the sadder than the minor chord. Everybody. Okay, so yesterday I was talking about evolution again, and naturally people spiraled in the comments section. I tried to respond to as many as I can, and even though I addressed it in the video saying, like, it's just crazy how many people don't argue a point, they just say that I'm stupid. So someone had a great idea just this morning. I was looking through the comments. I wasn't even planning on doing a stream, but Amy's hitting the gym. And Nana, Amy's mother, is watching the kids right now, and they're having a really good time. So Big Bear slipped off into his little piano thought room here. And I'm going to steel man evolution. This wasn't my idea. Someone else said it on the comment section because I did this. I used to talk about on stage, if you can't argue the other side, you have no right to that opinion. And I did this whole video about that. About how I wanted political people to argue the other person's side. And that way people can really figure out what is the best answer for America. Turns out liberals never would participate because they, I think they know they're wrong. So today I'm going to steel man evolution. I'm going to argue in favor of evolution and how it was presented to me. Bear in mind, I minored in evolution for a bit in college. I actually know a decent amount about it. And I used to want to be a paleontologist when I was a kid. And briefly a marine biologist. I think every kid loves dinosaurs. Every boy likes dinosaurs, or most. I know my son does. Sorry if I sound a little choppy right now. I'm trying to figure out, like, my headphones are going in and out. Like, it's kind of distracting. I'm gonna have to get a new wire, I think. Hang on. There we go. Well, I don't know. It sounds so good coming out of both buds, though. I don't want to lose that. All right, anyway, so my parents were really cool in the sense that any interest I had, they would just pile me full of books and let me get a tutor or something, or figure out as much as I could about it. And so I got into paleontology and just science in general. I always loved, because there was an answer. And it turns out there isn't. Science requires as much faith as religion. I didn't learn that until I was older, though. And I think that's the big difference. And one of the big fallacies that people keep writing in the comment section, they're like, yeah, you believe in Sky Daddy Spaghetti Monster, but not science. And I'm like, no, see, what you don't understand, and you're doing this willfully. And I realize that people are doing it willfully. They know better, but they still do it because they're weak. Religion requires faith, and no one isn't saying that. There's it, a, that's why it's called faith in God. Faith. Science also requires faith. They just don't admit it. It's a secret religion. It's just as religious, if not more, because their story changes all the time. But there's a leap of faith because they can't prove much. All right. So anyway, this is the story of evolution, and it's a story. And I'm going to try and describe it as best I can. And I'm not going to get too technical, because A, I'm a little rusty, and B, it's just I don't know. If you can't, whenever people say it's too complicated to explain, it means they're lying. So I'm just going to try and explain it as best I can. All right. In the beginning, there's primordial soup, and a lot of people have made the distinction that that's not evolution, that's something else, a something genesis or whatever, but that's not how it was explained to me. So life began in billions of years ago on Earth with amino acids clumping together, and they formed a single cell. And the single cell organisms, like amoebas and whatnot. Sorry, this thing is just really annoying, going in and out of my ear. I'm just going to take this out. The single cell organism started, and then from there, there became multicelled organisms. And the way evolution works is it's pressure from the environment. So if it's more advantageous to have a nose or have an ear, and there was a mutation to have a nose or an ear, that individual survived and procreated. So single cells. See, I can't even argue for evolution because it's so flawed. All right, I'll try my best. All right. So there's single cell organisms, and then there was a mutation where just out of nowhere, and this happens all the time. Cancer cells are mutations, right? So there is a shift in the DNA and the RNA where just a new algorithm is formed randomly. This is all real, by the way. This does happen. But and from there, if that new mutation interacts with the environment better, there's a higher likelihood that they will have offspring that survive. And that's all survival of the fittest is. Fittest simply means offspring that survive. So there's single cell organisms that, and then out of nowhere comes a multicelled organism. And that multicelled organism grew and had little multicell organism children. And then from there, billions of years passed. And that's one of the things that evolution argues, is with the vast amounts of time our silly little brains can't fathom how much time passes and what can happen in that amount of time. So time keeps passing, and these multicelled organisms keep shifting and swaying. And the Earth's climate and continents with continental drift keep switching and shifting. At one time there was Pangaea and Gondwanaland is what it's also called, because when you give something a name, like intellectual dark web, it becomes a thing, even though it isn't a thing. But You know, I at one point there was, as you can see, like South America fits neatly into Africa, and at one point everything was together, and then it broke apart and went their own separate ways. But sorry, but I'm trying to keep their story straight. Okay, there was Snowball Earth, where for millions of years the whole Earth was a snowball, and then photosynthesis came out of nothing, because eventually these multi-celled organisms, there was a you know there was a mutation of photosynthesis, so then everything became a plant, and then came the dinosaurs, just with unfathomable amount of time, just mutating and becoming things. And then when I was a kid and wanted to be a paleontologist, they said that the T-Rex was this big predator. And then they said, no, it turns out T-Rex was a scavenger. And then it turns out that they're more like chickens. And then not lizards at all. And then they're covered in feathers. This is all just in my lifetime. All right. So anyway, the environment chooses who survives and who doesn't. So if we look at whales, now something called vestigial body parts or appendages, kind of like the our appendix, is proof of evolution, where there's thigh bones in a whale, and that of course proves that at one point they were on land, and then because of adaptation to environment, the legs slowly withered away into fins. And, but it hasn't completed the process yet, so there's still thigh bones. You know, another proof of evolution is there are these moths that were white that would hide on white birch trees in Victorian England during the Industrial Revolution. So much soot covered the birch trees that the white moths would get picked off by crows. So the 1 in 100 black moth would survive and prosper, and then made a bunch of black moths, and then it. You know, the moths turned black. The origin of life, no one can understand in science or in evolution. There's a theory called transpermia, where little bits of life came to this planet from comets or asteroids. From where? No one knows. Okay, Eskimos are still dark-skinned, even though they live in an area where sexual selection and natural selection should make their skin lighter, because they eat a lot of bear liver, which is high in vitamin D, so they don't get rickets. All right. I hope I'm selling you guys on evolution. I know that the capital S scientist people will just, no matter what I say, there's no changing their minds, but I can't keep going with this. It's just so stupid. All right, there's different types of evolution. There's macro and there's micro, right? The macro is ridiculous. I there's not only isn't there an argument, it sounds like just the rantings of madness. Microevolution, there is an argument for. Like, for example, the height of people in Scandinavia, you could argue it's to keep the organs away from permafrost, you know, the color of skin based on your potential skin cancer rates. Or rickets from vitamin D. You know, adaptation. You know, Darwin talking about speciation. I think there's an argument for that, where if you have a population of birds or something and they separate for a decent period of time and they start inbreeding, they start becoming di different looking birds. And when there's no natural predators, sexual selection becomes the major engine for evolution, and that's when you get birds with these crazy plumes. They look like hipster soy boys. You know, the soy boy birds have these giant plumes because there's no natural predators. So their survival mechanisms, they don't breed for survival because there's no threats to them, like the white soy boy American male. They have the trust fund and the overreaching mother. So they get the plumes, but you throw in one fox or one hyena and they're all dead. So those things I believe in completely. I believe in adaptation and microevolution. It's the origin of life is part of the theory of evolution. Even though, you know, the geniuses in my comment section just want to separate the word of that and call it some genogenesis or some shit. Just because it's so flawed and so ridiculous sounding that they want to just get away from the things that are easily proven to be false, give it another name, cut it loose, bigot, racist, homophobe, and keep going. You can't have a theory of evolution without a beginning. And the beginning is ridiculous. The only argument for it is that it's still happening now, but the other organisms eat up the organisms that started life that are now being created in this primordial soup. It just doesn't make any sense. It's as religious as any religion. The difference being, religious people admit there's a leap of faith. That's part of it. That's why it's called faith in God. But you guys don't say faith in science because you think you're better than everybody else. I believe in continental drift, but I don't know enough. I know how easy you can trick people. And this is another thing about this whole evolution thing. If you really think that the timeline is what people say, and that there's nothing special about humans, understand that you're going down a road that will lead to the type of racism that I don't think you know exists in our modern world. If you don't have the divinity spark of humans and a sense of God, science would say that different races, different groups of people from different parts of the world will have vastly different mental capacities. So watch yourself with this, because that's very dangerous. If you really think that, parts of Europe and parts of Africa are like separated by 50, 60,000 years of environmental forces, your brain is 5% of your mass and it consumes 25% of all your calories. If you don't think that the environment weighs in on how big or small your brain is going to be, and one has winter and one doesn't, you're now stepping into some serious eugenics territory, and I don't think that's the way you want to go with this at all. So you leftist scientists out there, really, really do a deep dive and think about the fact that you can take wolves and turn them into chihuahuas in what, 1,000 years? What do you think happens to humans? Okay, if you really don't think there's a spark, something that makes humans special, something that makes us bonded, and that there was a diaspora that isn't as far back as people are saying, and that we're all in the image of God, you're going to have to start acknowledging that evolutionary forces will make different races of people vastly different in intelligence. Vast. When you have 25% of your calories being consumed by 5% of your body, think about eyebrows, chest hair, nostril width, height, endurance, Adam's apple size. All these little stupid things are influenced by the humidity in air. Now imagine winter, no winter. 25% of all your food gets consumed by one thing. You don't think that that's going to have a factor? Be careful about going down that road, because that road leads to Mean Mr. Mustache. So the arrogance and the hubris of these leftist, capital S science, religious people, these atheists, the people that think God is a silly story, have to tell me their silly story about how no scientist can explain or recreate a single cell becoming multi-cell organism. That isn't evolution. That's macroevolution. It's never been tested. It's never been recreated. It's never been observed in the natural environment. You cannot observe a plant becoming an animal. It's never happened. You can't observe, oh, and by the way, the moth thing was a lie. That was what I was taught in college. I'm 38. That was not that long ago. The theory of evolution has been, what, 150 years they've had to try and iron out these details? The whale thigh bones? Not thigh bones. Those are used in mating. That's not a vestige from when they lived on land. That's also a lie. These are all lies. So the thing about the modern religion of science is when they have disproved like main tenets of their argument, the whale thigh bone, our appendix is supposed to be one of these vestigial things. No, it helps break down coarse plant matter that we just happen to not have to eat right now because we have high fructose corn syrup making us fat. Yeah, it's all bullshit. I mean, it's just total bullshit. Whales are walking. Look around. Snakes have back legs. Yeah, man, I hope this helps some people see the religiosity of science. Like when you see other people's reaction to this, it's pretty profound because you see people clamoring at holding on to their truth. You know, where they're like, but, and you're like, no. Show me or describe to me how a plant evolves into an animal. Show me how an eye evolves, right? The eye has so many different the cones and the rods and the pupil and all these like intricate little things. That doesn't just come out of any it, like that can't evolve from natural selection or sexual selection. It's just not possible. Like there was too many it just clearly is a design. And if anyone wants to argue that, they can, but I scoured my comment section and all it was personal insults. Big Bear, I know you're smart, but you lost me. You sound really stupid. Is that your argument? That sounds insane. Tell me how a single cell becomes multi-celled based on sexual or environmental selection. Explain it to me. And if you say it's too complicated, just like when Jordan Peterson said it was too complicated right after he was caught in a lie, in a deception. That smoke screen, that's wizard work. And I'm not going to be a part of that. And I also don't want to be a part of a ideology that is that racist. I believe in a divinity in humans. I think that that what separates us is not this brutal sexual and environmental selection mechanisms that make black people stupid and white people smart. That's crazy to me. That sound like so according to the evolutionists, and by the way, this is a fact. You can't argue against this if you believe in the mechanism of that. Different groups of humans would be closer to animal than others. If that's what you believe, that's what you believe. That if in that if eons of time separate groups of people and one group of people does not have a winter or anything hammering at 25% consumption of their calories, so that people that see the future, see algorithms, can go above their animal urges, stuff like that, that's selected out like a grindstone. If you believe that that's the mechanism for all of humans, then you are literally a eugenicist. You're on a different fucking path than me. And frankly, it's fucking creepy. It's real creepy. All right. We are still in the sun worship stage. I don't know what that means. Science sadly doesn't have the get out clause of, I don't know what that means. No intrinsic value to your life. Exactly. We'll get used to it. It's reality. Okay. Is that your argument? Man, the funny thing about you guys is I love that the interaction, but at the same time, when you're exposed to just such dumb, arrogant people, it's like, we'll get used to it. You know, it's like, well, you sound stupid. You sound stupid. Dup, 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 dup. I don't know. I think I have a natural and never-ending optimism that people just rise out of how dumb they sound, but you know. Life can be very disappointing. Right, that's the main thing I wanted to talk about today. Anything you guys want to talk about? Aliens did it. Well, transpermia is a brand new theory because the whole the primordial soup doesn't seem to have any legs that can evolve. So, there's bad science, evolution isn't bad science. There is bad science, evolution isn't bad science. Micro evolution's real. Macro isn't, in my opinion. I'm no scientist, but guess what? I'm more of a scientist than I'm just as qualified as Charles Darwin. Scientist, quote unquote, is the new priest. When someone says, well, scientists prove, well, what makes you a scientist? What makes you a scientist, you know? Like Albert Einstein worked at a copyright. He worked at a copyright office. He was doing copyrights. Like, what? Where do you get your credentials from? See, the thing about God-given rights is you get it from God. What do you get your science credentials from? A college? The same people that are screaming and ranting these Marxist indoctrination camps? Are those the people that grant you your scientific credentials? Because if so, then that isn't anything. There's no value in that. What makes someone a scientist? So you wear your white lab coat just like these pagan priestesses and priests would wear their whatever robes they would show that they were above humans. And because of their white lab coats, they now have some sort of prestige to say nonsense and lies. Okay? All right. But if microevolution is real, it's going too fast now. Tesla didn't like Einstein. Tesla married a pigeon. You guys know that, right? Tesla married a fucking bird. So we got to stop idolizing some of these people. Tesla fell in love with a fucking pigeon and married it. Like, why are we obsessing about people that are really good at materialism? The difference between science and faith is that science can admit ignorance. No, I think you got that wrong, buddy. I think science refuses to admit faith. That's the difference. This whole humility in science, because science admits when it's wrong. What fucking planet are you on? Science admits it's wrong. Science will hold on with white knuckles to lies for hundreds of years and call it peer-reviewed. It's peer-reviewed. By who? Other priests? I know that I can't prove God. That's the whole point. It's called faith. You have to have faith in order to believe in God because you can't recreate God in a lab. But if you're going to be scientific and say that the answers are in the recreation, someone else was talking about how we don't fully understand electricity. I said, yes, but you can observe it in nature. You can look at a lightning strike. You can do, you can use ohms and volts and all this stuff and currents and all that. And you can recreate like Fermi's, like what Fermi and all these people did, where you can recreate electricity in many different environments and calculate how much resistance and volts and all this shit. You can't do that with evolution at all. You can't see it in nature. You can't recreate it in a lab. It is a story. It is just like it's religion. Except the difference between the Bible and science is science keeps changing all the time and pretending that it's doctrine. It keeps saying like, oh, well, now we think, you know, well, they now proved. Who the fuck is they? And if it's truth, how does it keep shifting? And I'm not talking about like refining. You know, they have something called the half-life of knowledge or the half-life of something, where in different scientific fields, half of everything they currently claim will be proven false and readjusted within 12 years in physics and 8 years in medicine or something like that. And I'm cool with the refining, but you can't claim truth when you realize that you're in a fluid pool of you're constantly reshaping and reshifting based on your material and political needs. Bill Nye. Yes. Bill Nye, the science guy, he said that three-year-olds can express gender. Like a three-year-old, like this year, Bill Nye saves the world. That creepy lab coated charlatan said that a three-year-old can have the different gender than what they're born with. That's disgusting, wrong, non quote unquote scientific, but it is though. It's capital S scientific. He and his friends have a desire to sexualize children and make a three-year-old appear like they have some form of consent ability, which they don't. They're three. So he will then come up with all this science, quote unquote, to make it seem like a three-year-old can be on hormone blockers by the time they're six or seven, which is what they're currently doing to children, because that way they're just like adults. And then these people can, I don't know, fuck them. It's insane. Not even a scientist. He's a comedian. Bill Nye is a kook. The Jews cause jizzpermia. Shil Nye, the science goy. That's pretty funny. The Chinese spy. Near-death experiences are our closest glimpse of spiritual truths. I think the children are. I think the creation of human beings in the womb is the closest I've ever come to seeing God. And it changed me forever. That's where I saw God. And then you see the devil with people trying to ruin children. It's right there. I mean, you can literally see the face of God in a laughing child. Not to sound corny, but it's a fact. And you can see the devil and people that want to destroy children. You can see it right in their beady eyes. And yeah. All right. I'm going to wrap this up. I just wanted to do that because my next one I want to do is Beers with Bears, where I just play music and we just have a great time. But I really wanted to address this evolution nonsense. And there is microevolution. There's sexual there's sexual selection. That's why the welfare state is messing up people's, you know, like the quality of people being born. Is because being a good guy was naturally selected by women for a long time. Where if you're a good guy, you know, if you represented Christ, if you were willing to do the hero's journey, women always found you attractive. And regardless of your lot in life, financially, or, you know, if you didn't have the most symmetrical face, but if you were willing to bear the burden of society and work and get through it, women would want to have sex with you and marry you and have children with you. And that's, but with the welfare state, when you have the state pumping money into single women and killing their unborn children, it messes up the whole selection process. And that's, but women are always going to be attracted to the hero. And it doesn't matter how much money you make, how good looking you are. That is in the core of a woman, is that the ability for a man to help carry the burden of existence. And evil forces are trying to mess that up and make the hero seen as the shamed one. You know, the one that stands up to tyranny, the one that carries the load, that is the person to shame, and that the cowards and the users and the psychopaths are the ones that should be perceived as attractive. And that is the end of time. And well, not time itself, but the end of our civilization. Women are attracted to a strong character. They are, for sure. But it can be flipped. You know, there's the upside down world. You know, ambition can become greed, and admiration becomes envy, and passion becomes rage in the upside down world. It's the same, you know, talk about science. There's something called the absolute value. Like -8 is the same as 8. You put two lines next to -8. It's called the absolute value. And all it is the amplitude away from zero. I've talked about this before, but when it comes to passion and when it comes to strength of character, women are not great at figuring out what direction it's going. That's why they can be so attracted to such horrible men, because, you know, rage and passion and then envy and admiration and all these upside down traits are simply just the magnitude wave away from nothing, away from zero, away from absolute zero, or the lack of warmth, -273 degrees Celsius. And they like big, they like great men. But if it's the wrong direction. A lot of times women are blind to that. And so they'll go after a psychopath instead of just a great guy. And it's pretty crazy. There really are like they're weak to that because it hurts them. You know, if they pair bond and have a child with a psychopath, they have a horrible life. And a lot of times they just don't have the ability to understand if it's 8 or if it's -8. All they see is 8. All right, guys. Absolute zero isn't as cold as you can get, though. Just saying. Explain, Jesse. I think absolute zero is as cold as you can get. If you can argue anything else, I would be very surprised. Nothing? Jesse, tell me what the hell you're talking about. Because warmth comes from a vibration of atoms. And if there's no movement, hang on, you can get reverse heat, bro. Okay, explain it to me. Jesse's going quantum. In Antarctica, there's a spot science were surprised to find that got colder. Oh, so you're a retard. No, there's no place on Earth that's absolute zero. There's literally, it's not possible. Absolute zero is when there is no vibration whatsoever of any of the molecular parts. Like if, cause the vibration of atoms is what creates heat, is what heat is. So if it's just still, like in deep space, that's where it's absolute zero. So absolute zero is from the Flash series, I think. Oh, so you guys, oh, 0 Kelvin. Exactly. Thank you. I think it's -460 Fahrenheit, is absolute zero. Is macroevolution a lie? Dogs produce dogs, humans produce humans. Right, but even on a giant scale of time, I can understand how things can just shift and change on a pretty massive scale. But no one can explain to me, and I'm smart. I have an ability of understanding complicated ideas. No one can explain to me how a plant became an animal or why. Okay, here's one for you for evolution. Why are our brains so big? The reason that we're born at 40 weeks and not 100 weeks, which is probably what we should be born at. Like the first year of a baby, you're useless, you know? And it's because our brains are so big that if they wait any longer, if a woman waited longer to give birth, not that it's their choice, but they would die. The baby would rip apart the woman. You know, most animals are born and you know, they're born running. The horse drops and within, you know, very quickly they just start running. A human can't even move their neck. Like human babies are like, I call them milk zombies. Tits. And that lasts a while because our brains are so ridiculously big that we have to be born so premature. And our brains take up a quarter of all our calories, right? So why is it that big? Like what environmental factor made us that insanely big-brained? And people just don't have an answer. You know, one of the answers is that we started cooking meat, which is externalizing the calorie, you know, because I mean, a lot of primates just eat all day long. But like as soon as humans discovered fire and could cook meat, you're almost, you're putting your digestion, you're externalizing digestion so that when you eat it, it just goes like right, the protein just hits you hard. And then that grew our brain. That doesn't make any sense. Why would that grow your brain? It just, and it happened like in a very short amount of time, according to evolutionists, that our brain just started getting jacked up. And you ask why, and they say, well, I mean, according to Bill Nye, the science guy, we should all just start banging kids. They're fucking heathens, these people. Bunch of sodomites. I think there was a flood, man. I It's like, I don't know. I think that people should have more humility into our ancient past than they do. They're just like, well, I mean, it's you're an idiot if you just don't believe the current science that will change within a month. Dude, they're now saying a T-Rex isn't a lizard. It looks like a chicken with feathers and was more like a coyote with its little shitty hands and was very slow moving. That's since the first Jurassic Park. That's how much it's shifted. They don't know anything. They're just running and saying bullshit to just keep just so they just want to keep their sodomy and candy flow going strong. As long as they can get their dick in someone's ass and eat candy all day, scientists will say and do anything. Brett Weinstein is a fucking douchebag. That dude's one of the main evolution guys. I know him personally. Like, he's a fucking douche. I judge ideas sometimes based on the company they keep, like the company the idea keeps. That's one reason why white supremacists I don't like very much, because they seem like real dickheads. This one guy, not white supremacist, that is a bad term. It's no good. But this one guy commented, he was like, "It's not fair how you're lumping all of us race realists into the categories that one guy who was mocking your suicidal father." I'm like, listen, man, all I'm saying is I know a lot of people and I meet a lot of people. One of the reasons I started getting more on the Trump train is because I enjoyed the company of people that liked Trump a lot more than people that liked Hillary Clinton when I was still in Los Angeles. You know, the people that liked Hillary Clinton were horrible to be around. And the people that liked Trump seemed to coincide with my vibes. They liked high-fiving and beers and having a good time. And they still had pride in themselves and didn't hate themselves for having a white skin or a penis. I feel the same way about these race realist guys. They seem like such dickheads that I don't even want to like think about their arguments, because let's say they are right. Let's say that, you know, races should be divided and we're never going to get along. By the way, that isn't even fucking true. It's like that this new studies show that white Americans aren't even the ones that are the most against PC. It's Hispanics, Asians, and Native Americans all fucking hate political correctness more than whites on average in America. So someone want to, I think my shit just froze. All right. Molyneux's a race realist, Owen? Not the way I'm describing it. Not the way I'm describing it. The way I'm describing it isn't that there's differences among macro populations. It froze. Can you still hear me, though? Oh, sweet. There is differences in macro populations, obviously. You know, like Charles Murray's shit is accurate. That's scientifically and statistically accurate. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is you take the macro and you make it micro, and I don't know. I'm out of here. It's fucking Saturday. I'm gonna do something fun today. I just wanted to try and steel man macro evolution. I just think it's a pile of bullshit. Please comment. Try not to sound retarded, and share and spread this. And have a great day, everybody. Much love. Hugepianist.com for the new specials. Patreon.com/WD WDTL. Or go to Why Didn't They Laugh on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day. And science is just another priest class. And they can all, and Bill Nye, keep Bill Nye away from your kids. He's a fucking pervert. All right, take care.